A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. I am Pete Donaldson. Welcome to the show. I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moore, and it is Monday the 15th of April. We're not recording it on Monday the 15th of April, so if something terrible has happened, it's not our fault, all right? We're not taking this down.
Well, it might be our fault. We don't know what it is.
A good point, actually. I could have had a heavy weekend and taken it all very personally.
It's the butterfly effect, isn't it? You pop down to the bloody boozer and get yourself 8 pints of fizzy lager.
Yeah.
Stumble in front of a car, which swerves.
Oh, dear.
Causes a chain reaction. Before you know it, there's a hurricane in somewhere else. You know,
this could be my final work. My final works, depending on what the calendar is saying in the Bron Japan and SME universe.
You're not the kind of guy to just stumble down the pub and have a bunch of beers, though, are you? On your own?
No, unless it's a pumping indie beat, I'm not interested in it.
Unless would it draw you in like a tractor beam if you could hear
yeah,
it down the street?
Yeah, fire a bit of...
22 grand job by the rakes, you just get sucked in.
To be fair, that would actually pull me in. I'd be like, interesting. You don't hear that very often. Nice.
So you don't, because one of the best parts of my week, any week really, is, you know, squeezing a couple of hours into the working week on the way home one evening.
That's lovely, that. That's absolutely lovely.
To have a couple of beers at the bar, just stand at the bar on my own.
Yeah. Little bit of Luke time. Mine's we did a show once where it was called Masters of Man Time. Me and Danny Wallace. It's such a stupid name.
Oh, Man Time. That was Masters, like a weird brand thing.
It was a brand thing. It was a Foster's or
something.
It was Strongbow. Some brand anyway. Strongbow, was it?
I think it might have been Strongbow.
Right. Okay.
I remember it back in the day.
Weird. Very weird.
What did you do? What kind of stuff did you have to do?
I just need some man time. I think. I don't know. I can't remember. It was a very busy period. I think we were maybe going out of Johannesburg for the World Cup, so I really didn't have time to. I just felt like I let Danny Wallace down, to be honest. So apologies.
What's he up
Danny.
To now?
He's got his FM show. He's obviously bussing out books left, right, and centre. He writes a lot of kids' books now. So.
Has he moved on since working with you, or is that the apex?
Well, he probably thinks about it a lot. Thinks about it a lot.
If I was him, I would upgrade his Wikipedia photo.
What's his dick? What does it look like? So look.
It's like a proper 2008 styled photo. And he's done loads.
Yeah, but
of stuff
I don't think you can piss about with your. Oh yeah, actually, that was the front cover of when he used to write for Shortlist. Remember that Shortlist?
Yes, I do remember he had that column in Shortlist.
He wrote an astonishing amount. Like, he wrote it every. It was every week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it ran for like 10 years or something. It was insanely long period of time to be writing something. Yeah.
Is he still your friend?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, as in, we don't really talk all that much, but.
Can I ask you a question that you might not want to answer?
I could text him. Well, it depends on if you want me to text him or not.
I don't want you to text him. I just heard on the grapevine that you had a big falling out with Dave Gorman.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I think that was on both sides. I think I think it was more on Dave's side than his. I think.
Okay. Because I used to work together quite a lot, right?
Yeah, but I think that was a long time ago. That was before Danny started doing stuff himself, I think. So
okay,
but people fall out.
I know.
So watch out, buddy.
We don't.
Watch out, big man.
We don't, because I put up with all your shit.
Yeah, but I put up with all your shit.
I'm very, very patient.
And you're not very, very patient. You're not very, very patient.
Speaking of which, by the way, in the biggest role reversal ever, you know, I lost my keys.
I saw you scrabbling around on the stat group asking if you'd seen any keys.
Well, I actually found them.
Everyone treated you very nicely. If
yeah, I'd
said
that, do it.
Everyone would have piled in.
Yeah,
you do it. You're a underrated stress ball. You're an underrated.
What are you talking about? I don't lose stuff that often.
You're an underrated kind of panicker a little bit. You're a download panicker, but you keep this kind of like iceberg of cool, but really your legs are going like, oh, Billy, oh, I've lost my keys.
It's a confusing metaphor. I don't think icebergs have got legs.
They have. They've got little legs.
Well, let me just come back on that because it's a bone of contention in this household because the wife I have access to will always tell people when we're in polite company, oh, Luke's always losing his sunglasses, right? And every time I have to say, right, I lost
20 million times.
And the second time I apparently lost my sunglasses because my bag got stolen. Right. It's not exactly my fault that happened.
Yeah, but your bag got stolen. Didn't a lady come over and do like the map trick and stole your phone with the map?
Again, she I was came... a victim of a crime, correct. Yes, that happened.
A crime that has been repeated for decades in London.
I'm a traditionalist.
If anyone comes over with a map, I'm grabbing all of my stuff. Get out of it.
I wasn't really aware of that scam, and it also happened on my 40th birthday, which is depressing. So I was without a phone.
Your 20th year in London. Love it.
But anyway, so I eventually found my keys, but the plot thickened because I couldn't find them for ages. And on Wednesday is the day I normally bath my son, right? I come home a bit earlier and I get him all ready for do his bath and stuff. It's actually like a bit of a highlight of the week.
Right.
And because I was trying to find my keys, I was running late.
Yeah.
And so I frantically got home, couldn't find them. So I had to ring the doorbell, knock the door, ring...
That's an ordeal when you've got dogs in the house as well. Because, like, you know, people might be asleep resting and you have to wake up the house and the dogs go crazy when the doorbell goes. It's a whole thing. So Yeah, it's a real issue when I repeatedly forget my keys.
Exactly. I wouldn't have if he had been in bed, I wouldn't have rung the bell. But right. I was calling the wife. She wasn't answering.
Right.
Cut a long story short, because I was late, she started to bath him already, and she just decided that I had to sit outside waiting for it to be finished before she let me in. So I had to sit on the doorstep like half an hour. But anyway, I found them in the end, guys.
On your stoop, like a sitcom.
I don't want to be...
Sesame Street.
I don't want to be someone who has a reputation for losing things. That's the problem.
For sitting on your stairs. Yeah,
but you
like,
lose stuff all the time.
I don't. I've just got too much stuff. I've got too much stuff that means so much to me. I've got too many keys. Got too many responsibilities.
So I think your keys policy is absolutely crazy to me. I cannot believe you go about your life in that way.
How many key rings have you got? Because you are a real separation of church of state.
Always
keep
your keys, your car keys and your house keys separate. Always.
Why?
Because you don't lose everything in one go then.
But then you have to carry two sets of keys around. That's insane.
Well, I'm not always leaving the house. Okay, I'll tell you what's insane. You go to work, right?
Right.
And even though you're not getting to work in the car, you're taking your car keys with you.
Yeah. No one else is driving the car, so who else needs it?
No, but it doesn't matter. If you lose your keys, you need to get home and you need to go drive the car. You can't.
Well, yeah, but like, if I lose my keys anyway, that would happen, wouldn't it? If I had my car keys and I lost my car keys, I wouldn't be able to drive my car. So the end result is the same.
I think there's got to be a strict separation of church and state on this. Office keys, house keys and car keys should all be separate.
What, three key rings? Have you lost your loaf? That's insanity.
Your key ring's about the size of a fucking planet.
Yeah, but I like it. I feel like a big boy.
I'll tell you what, the biggest power move in stack available is you walking into the office and slamming your keys on the table. The whole fucking building shakes. And you got really pissed off the other day because I said to you, that is an obscene set of keys. And you went, no, I need every single one of them. Pick out a key and I'll tell you instantly what it's for. Mm. And about three of them you couldn't.
No, one of them I couldn't. And all of the other ones.
What was it?
Post room, scooter, bag for the back of the scooter, key for the car, there's two offices in stack, so two keys there. There's a fob on there. There's my front door house key. There's a key for the car I'm importing. A lock, two versions of the same key for the lock on the car I'm importing.
The key for the handcuffs of that guy you chained to the radiator.
The key for the handcuffs you chained to the radiator. Yeah, there's just a lot of keys in my life, baby.
Yeah. I think as a species, we've evolved too much if there's that many keys.
I should just get a skeleton key. Just opens everything.
Is that a myth or does that exist in real life?
I think I think you'd have to have a very shoddy set of locks to be able to get in there. I've not watched The Lockpicking Lawyer for a little while, but I think it's yeah, it's very much.
I feel like as a society, part of me thinks we should have technologically moved beyond keys, and of course, in some cases we have. We've got like what's it called, passes, and I guess in hotels now it's just an electronic thing, isn't it?
But the fundamental kind of technology under those kind of like remote access, app access, fingerprint access, they're so generic and so kind of, no one's willing to sort of do it properly, that you sort of end up making it less secure than just a common or garden Yale. It's
right.
Really sad.
Because when I wanted to get a safe for the house, you told me not to bother because every single safe you can buy commercially is a load of old shit.
Yeah, I mean, if you know what you're doing, especially like the fingerprinty ones, just get one of those ones you like put in the floor. I told you.
Yeah, but I can't do that. You said that before. I just don't understand the point. I don't understand what you're talking about.
You just get a safe in the floor, because then they can't take the safe and then angle grinder it open later, or use magnets to open it.
But don't just keep saying put it in the floor. Tell me what it means, because I live on the first
floor. Cement it into the floor. Cement a safe into the floor.
This
so
is the kind of
the safe.
Fuzzy thinking that you mean you put your foot through an Airbnb ceiling. Like, I can't just put cement a safe into the floor of a first floor flat.
All you're doing, right, with stuff like that is you're slowing someone down. So just do the maddest thing you can possibly think of that they wouldn't have brought. They wouldn't have brought like a pickaxe. They wouldn't have brought something that's going to break something out of cement. They won't have done that. So all of the ways that it would usually sort of remove that safe from your house is kind of moot, I suppose.
All right, and tough guy. I'm just going to put you in a scenario.
All right.
You've been to my flat. You know what it's like. Yep. Victorian flat, yep. First floor. Uh-huh. There's people living downstairs.
First floor, it limits the whole cement in the floor bit.
Well, I was going to say.
I'll admit that.
How are you doing it?
Well, like, all right, we'll put it into a load-bearing wall, but like put it into like a brick wall. Yeah. Get it in there so they can't remove it.
It's just wacky ideas.
It's just where to put your safe.
Do you know what I'm going
to
do?
Aren't you trying to move a house?
I'm going to put it behind a picture.
Yes.
And the picture, the eyes of the person in the picture are going to move.
Exactly.
That's
perfect.
What I should do.
Perfect.
I do want to move house, but the whole thing's an absolute nightmare of admin, isn't it?
Well, you shouldn't have installed that safe.
I know, because I'll put the safe where the front door should be and now I can't get out.
Oh,
I've got nothing to put
me.
In the safe. I just don't want to leave things lying around.
Mm. Yeah.
I've got a massive bunch of keys that I need to put somewhere. anyway, Peter, we should probably take the time to do a few emails. We haven't done any for a while, and we did promise last time we recorded that we'd do something. So
lovely.
What about this from Scampy Fry Joe?
Love it.
Trailed it on the last episode, and it's about on the subject of candy floss, because fairly recently we had a conversation, didn't we, about how long it would take you, Peter, to source candy floss in the seaside town in which you live. Scampy Fry Joe says, being a long-term Luke and Pete Show and Ramble listener, as well as somebody who works in Soho, it didn't take any effort to figure out where Pete's former flat was. He must have lived on Old Compton Street, because the chip shop really gave it away. With this in mind, I recently visited the Las Vegas Arcade on Wardour Street, which, for those of you who don't know London, is a road that off the end of Old Compton Street.
Yeah.
As I had half an hour to kill. Amongst the Japanese arcade machines, what did I find but a candy floss machine? See attached photo. That meant the whole time Pete was living in Soho, he was a 1 minute walk away from candy floss, per Google Maps.
If you are taking 1 minute to get from my front door to that particular Vegas,
the Las Vegas arcade,
the Las Vegas arcade, you are lollygagging, I believe.
Is that a gay themed arcade?
What do you mean?
Because no, I thought every business around
like it's
no, every business on
weed.
That road is essentially it's basically the gay district of
well it
Soho,
used to
right?
be you got I think as gentrification works, all of the interesting stuff gets pushed out and you get a shop that just sells fucking crisps.
I don't really know what a gay arcade is, I suppose. A gay themed arcade is.
What are the gayest games? I suppose Final Fight. Remember Final Fight?
Yes. Fighting game.
Very muscular. Yeah, but it was like the mayor employed, I think Hagar might have been the mayor, and he was like a sexy mayor. I think that was the plot of Final Fight. It was like a precursor to Street Fighter, or maybe it came out at the same time. But there was some proper barrel-chested men in that one, like proper Tom and Finland stuff. So I think one of the gayest arcade games must be Final Fight.
But the
big lads. Isn't
it a side-scrolling like beat 'em up though? It's not a Street Fighter game, is it?
No, yeah, it's a side scroller, but it's similar.
I used to love those.
Everyone's
fuckers.
Incredibly buff in it.
Yeah, I used to love those side scrolling games like Double Dragon and stuff.
Golden Axe.
Oh, Golden Axe, the classic.
I reference Golden Axe quite a lot because Sarah leaves little cups of water around the house, and I say it's like those little goblins that leave little vials behind, and you kick them.
That's such a niche reference. She's not interested in that reference.
That is a niche reference. I think the only time we've ever played a video game together was Golden Axe. Drunkenly finished it on my little arcade machine.
Were you the dwarf or the big barbarian?
I was the big barbarian because, you know, projecting, life and art and all that.
So thank you for that, Scampy Fry Joe. Good to know. Did you ever go to the arcade then? Because you love a video game. Surely you must have been
It was mainly people selling weed. Their main feature was, I think, was a big air hockey table, which is...
I think you're struggling for custom if that's going to be your main draw.
Yeah. I think there might have been a FIFA cab. I think there were FIFA cabs back in the day. Yeah, it was all right. It was just very... you'd sort of... There wasn't that much stuff in there. Arcades nowadays are a bit rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up around a lot of arcades because obviously I grew up by the seaside myself. So there was arcades, the amusement arcades we used to go down to quite a lot.
Yeah.
And but that the thing with that was kind of before you had so much access to so many different video games, right? So even if you had a Super Nintendo, which I had, you'd probably, if you're lucky, you've probably got, in my case, you've probably got 4 or 5 games, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you can take your pick like you can these days. So going down there was a genuine treat, and they'd have like games. And the other thing about it which was attractive was they had like actual guns.
Yeah, like guns, and the graphic technology would be just so much further advanced than what you could. You could buy like Neo Geos and stuff that were kind of the same as what you'd get in the arcade, but that was like £200 a game back in the day, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that was the exciting thing. I very much enjoyed when they used to kind of convert these like pneumatic, robust, explosive experiences in the arcade, and they'd put them on the Spectrum, and they'd be crap. They would be absolutely crap. Street Fighter 2 on the Spectrum is like it's real something else. It's just good stuff. It's good stuff.
Do you remember what was I going to say? I remember like the fact that the big appeal was like driving games as well. But if you look at some of the setups people have at home now, I mean, it's obscene. It's absolutely obscene.
I like the ones that you don't see in many places is like Densha de Go, train simulator in Japan.
Yeah.
And you just whip through the Yamanote line in Tokyo, just in a massive train cab. And now I sort of know a little bit of, you know, holiday Japanese, and I can actually run the cab now. I can actually get into a game and play it, which I kind of failed.
That's
on
amazing.
Previous attempts. And it's just really... It's just good, man.
So like, none of the stuff's in English. It's all just in kanji and stuff.
So just, it's all simple. But the few times I've done it before, I couldn't get into the game. I couldn't figure out what was going on. But I finally got in. But like it's just such a fun. It's such a relaxing kind of like, you know, it. I don't know why they're not bigger, like these little kind of train controls. I don't know why these games aren't bigger in the West, because like you sit there for hours, like just stick a podcast on. Or a bit of telly, and just drive a train, right? And, you know, it's all just about stopping at the right distance, picking up the right amount of speed. Yeah, it is. Cause it's just
what,
like,
is it
it's
mindful,
just,
is it?
Yeah, I think it's mindful. I think I might build myself a little train cab.
Forgive my ignorance here, but if you're playing a flight simulator where, say, it's like Microsoft Flight Simulator, whatever it is now,
yeah,
and you elect to fly from London to Frankfurt or whatever,
yeah,
so that's like a 2.5 hour flight,
yeah,
are you actually expect to sit there for 2.5 hours, or does it speed up?
I think you have the option, I think, to sort of go, right, do you want this to be real time? Do you want this to be half time? Do you want this to be all the, you know, all that stuff, really? Do you want this to be quicker than, like,
what would you
do? I'd climb up to the highest point and then just kind of skip to landing, because there's just nothing else really going on.
Why does anyone want to play it if that's the case?
Well, what do you mean?
Microsoft Takeoff and Landing Simulator.
Well, no, people can choose what they want to do. It's really open-ended, and it's, you know, it's a real technical feat, the whole thing. I like those blokes who basically take like big buildings in Dubai and Qatar and places like that, and basically the ones that are really flat at the top, they'll basically plonk a Boeing 747 or different kinds of planes and just go and like just sort of drive them off and then see if it'll sort of eventually take off.
What do you mean?
like it, they're basically experts in getting these planes to fly on very short runways and landing them and stuff.
Right.
So they basically just they just use these buildings as big as like small runways basically, and they just see if you tried to fly like a DC whatever off the top of it, whether it would kind of crash into the ground or would it manage to take off at full thrust.
Presumably the answer is it will crash into the ground.
A lot of the like the supersonic, hypersonic, I don't know what the fuck, supersonic ones don't seem to fare very well, but the big lads seem to have enough juice. So they've just got a lot of engines, haven't they?
Some of the Boeings are difficult though, aren't they?
Some of the Boeings are difficult, yeah.
You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to go out to the US and watch for those like experimental futuristic aircraft to be test flown. Because it must happen.
Yeah.
When you see like UFOs and that kind of stuff, a lot of it's got to be like experimental test flights and stuff.
If you sort of see like if you see like a satellite, you know those planes that have like big satellite circles on the top of them?
Yeah.
That you do like radar, or, I don't really know how it all bloody works.
They're called DC-10s, aren't they?
I think DC-10s are just planes, aren't they? Normal planes with the engine on the wheel.
Oh, are they? Okay, sorry. I think
these planes are like obviously have big radar-y kind of heads.
I know exactly
on
what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like I saw one on the top of the there's a big aircraft carrier just off in the river in New York. I drove past yesterday, and it just looks like a big stupid UFO. So like that could easily be mistaken for a UFO because it's such an odd sight to sort of see in the sky, like a perfectly circular round thing.
My point is the technological lag though, because if you think about say when a really futuristic aircraft actually gets put into service, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's military service.
Yeah.
How many years is there a lag between them developing that? 20 years?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah, you got to keep. Wasn't there like a space shuttle? Like they were developing in the 60s space shuttles that were designed to be flown in like the 80s and stuff. Like it was like that much of a lead time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So like, for example, the stealth. I'm just looking now. The stealth bomber,
right,
which is still in service now,
yeah,
right, was being tested in like the early 80s,
right?
And some people think it was being tested in the mid 70s.
Yeah.
And it was put into service at the end of the 90s. So what I'm saying to you is, it's like
so
a 20-year
you're wanging around in that.
Yeah, well, exactly. That. So,
yeah.
So when you hear a lot of that chat about like triangular shaped aircraft with like lights on the bottom of them and going at crazy speeds and stuff, part of me just thinks, well, of course that's going to be happening because it's probably a natural progression from the technology you see now.
Yeah.
And they're not going to talk about it because it's proprietary technology. They don't want it to get into the hands of like enemy states and stuff, do they?
I just always sort of think those guys who fly planes for the first time, like delivering a plane, like pilots will take jobs where they'll deliver a plane that's just come off the production line to wherever it needs to go.
Yeah.
Or they'll fly a plane that's never been, you know, used in a certain way before, or it's been stripped out, or it's, you know, it's had engine taken off. All this stuff, and you're like, that's quite risky when presumably you do not have a parachute and cannot get out of the window. Like, it just seems very, like, you know, if you're having, like, a big cargo plane or a passenger aircraft, there's no way of getting out of that. Like,
no, but that's just their job, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I know, but you're like, but they're trying something the first time that's never been flown before, like, in anger.
Yeah. Have you read The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe?
I have, Nir.
What's quite interesting about that is when it's about the space race and all that kind of stuff. What's really interesting to me in that is that they obviously target the best fighter pilots in the US, and they want to try and convince them to go up in satellites that are going to orbit the Earth, right?
Yeah.
But because the way they're going to be doing that is so primitive, essentially a load of the fighter pilots don't want to do it because there's basically no skill involved.
Right.
Because all they're going to be doing is be launched into orbit, circumnavigate the Earth a few times and then come down again. And what they're used to doing is like a load of really high skill manoeuvring in aircrafts, which they won't be doing in that. So they're like, what's the point? You might as well just send anyone up. Like, there's no point. So they don't want to do it, which I kind of find is quite interesting. It's something I didn't really consider before, because it's that ability and those skills that have got them to the very apex of technology. But the technology is advancing in such a way that at that point there was no skill involved in it. Now, obviously, that's not the case now because it's very, very different now. But then they were basically just been chucked up in a tin can and spun around the Earth, and they just weren't bothered about it. Anyway, let's have a break. And when we come back, we'll just squeeze a couple more emails in before we get out of here and leave everyone alone for a few days.
Orton.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's the Luke and Pete Show, and we are back. Luke, have you ever experienced the application slash website Nextdoor?
No, never heard of it. What is it?
It's basically like a Facebook group for your local area, and I love people who get upset.
Sounds
on
like
there.
The worst thing in the world.
The worst. There's a person who about 5 minutes ago reported that a famous con man is in the area. I'm not going to give his name, but he just knocked on my door in Westcliff-on-Sea. He's been jailed for conning elderly people regarding driveways. And then somebody set up a Twitter page of the same man with loads of pictures of him, and it says, "I am a con man turned window cleaner and driveway cleaner."
How does one become a famous con man these days?
I don't know. I think it's quite quaint, really. It's like
it's not the monorail guy in The Simpsons.
Yeah, it says, "I am currently working as a window cleaner, but I am a thief and a con man. I have not learnt from my previous mistakes and continue to steal." That's his Twitter bio, which I think is very funny. Oh,
is he going to pop out of your place, is he?
Well, we could do with a bit of help. We could do with a bit of help, I reckon.
Yeah, well, to help to mess. Do what?
Bit of a mess. It's just general bits and bobs, really. The garden is looking atrocious.
I don't feel you need a con man to help you with that. You'll come back one day and the garden will be gone.
He'll have it away. It's terrible.
Let's just squeeze one more email in from Ian, our friend Ian. Hello to you, Ian. Lovely. He says, "Hi, Luke and Pete. On the subject of Bruce Dickinson and real ale, we must have been talking about the Hobgoblin, who got you the sack from XFM, and then maybe talked about the Trooper Ale, which is the Iron Maiden ale, I guess. Ian says, "I wanted to let you know about some legitimate beef I have with the man Bruce Dickinson. Last year, Bruce wrote the Real Ale Guide for Camera, which in itself is brilliant."
That is
amazing he's doing that.
Good God.
Do you know what Camera is, Peter?
It's a bit like Nambla.
It's the campaign for Real Ale.
Right.
So people who really get into their beer.
Yeah.
And I think if you keep the beer properly and you stock a certain type of beer well, you get to go in the guide for Camera. And then people who love proper ale know that your pub is safe to visit.
Yeah, the safe to visit. The my ex had her family has a pub, and they were in the Real Ale Guide, and just a lot of absolute nerds coming in with their little books, writing stuff down.
That's all right, though, isn't it?
I don't know. Again, and you're having a go at me sitting there with my train sim.
No, I'm not. I'm having a go at you with your keys.
haven't got my keys. All right.
I think you know, there's a bunch of lads who go around all the football grounds, right?
Right.
And it's quite interesting the rules that a lot of them impose on themselves for whether they can count a ground that they've actually visited, right?
Okay. Right.
So some of them would say that, like, they're basically groundhoppers and they tick off every ground they can go to in football.
Yeah.
And some would say that you have to have seen a game and heard the final whistle for
okay.
it to count.
Right.
You can't just go there.
See the final whistle. I wonder if that... Well, do you reckon people were sort of popping in and then just leaving again? Taking some pictures and then fucking off?
Some would say that you have... Yeah. Some would say you have to buy, like, a couple of programs. One to read and one for the old folder.
One to keep.
Yeah. There's lots of different rules. Anyway, nice. The old Real Ale fans are just it's just everyone. Every bloke is a nerd in one way or another, isn't they?
Hugely. And me adding like stuff like cars to my life recently and planes and stuff. It's just enhanced.
But I think
life.
That's because you want to be cool with the bigger boys.
There are no bigger boys in my life that I had to impress. There are no more worlds left to conquer when it comes to bigger boys. Oh, hello, there's a big cat.
Yeah,
there's a big cat looking at the webcam.
It's
hello.
Magnus the cat. He's having a lot
hello,
of time.
Magnus.
Anyway, Ian picks up the story and says, it's basically because it's 4 o'clock and it's Magnus's dinner time, so he's wondering why I haven't fed him, but I'll finish it in a minute. Bruce wrote The Real Ale Guy for Cameras, what Ian says.
Yeah.
And that came out around the same time my book, A Beautiful Pint, One Man's Search for the Perfect Pint of Guinness. We battled it out for the top beer book on Amazon for many, many months.
The
right?
best beer boy.
Yeah. So it's Ian versus Bruce Dickinson for the best beer boy in the world on Amazon.
Nice.
And he said, I would text my friends Iron Maiden hatred content every time he pipped me for top spot on the charts, culminating in mine and Pete's mutual friend Gav texting Iron Maiden's tour manager to let him know I wasn't happy. His response, a single metal horn emoji. Absolute coward. Bruce Dickinson's run to the hills, as far as I'm concerned. All the best, and hope the hobgoblins you have access to are being mischievous on this Thursday.
Oh, we like it, Ian. Lovely stuff.
So I'd love to know, if you just feel for a bit, I'm going to check if whose book is top of the beer charts.
Is there a beer... that's going to take too long to find the beer charts. I don't think that's a real thing, surely. There can't be just a chart dedicated to beer. There must be some kind of weird kind of metadata.
They do loads of different charts in on Amazon. I'm sure they do.
Did we ever make a chart, the Football Ramble book?
Yeah, we made the sports chart for a while, I reckon.
Sports chart. Who
we
wants
did.
To be in that one. Bar off.
All right.
Just tie
well, maybe I'll look for next
Cantona.
Time then. Or maybe Ian can get in touch and tell us.
Ian, get in touch. Let us know who's the best and don't lie.
Apparently he knows you. He says you've got mutual friends.
Yeah, we have.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know him, but yeah, I know him. I've heard of him.
You called him a nerd earlier.
I wasn't. You were calling him a nerd.
You don't like him because all you like is fizzy lager.
I like what we need, Ian, is the fizzy lager guides. I want a guide to the best, most acrid, aggressive chemical construction that I can get down my gullet as quickly as possible and then try and repeat the process with the second pint and go, oh, this is actually quite gross. I'm gonna
can you down a pint or not?
Oh, mate, we've done this before. I'm really good at downing pints. We've seen this.
I've never seen you in the pub long enough to down a pint. You're always going somewhere
all right,
else.
I think we'll go out for a meal in a couple of weeks. I'm gonna I'll show you how
I think
down
we're going
a
to quite a nice restaurant as a farewell dinner for a dear colleague, aren't we? You just gonna down pints around the tea table. Great. Told you I could fucking do it. Bring the
dog over. I don't get out very much. Come on.
It's not
Katie
appropriate behaviour
for
fucking, a nice
she
restaurant.
She fucking loves
Pete.
The sesh. She'd be bang up for joining us. All right, let's get out of here, Sesh Lords. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this. Get your battery brands in. Who used to do that? This is Peter Pediment, isn't it?
Elmer Fudd.
No, it's somebody else. I'm thinking Jiminy Cricket, but Jiminy. No,
it's not
Jiminy Cricket. Anyway. It was Jiminy, not Jiminy Cricket, Jimmy Cricket. Remember Jimmy Cricket? Do you remember he had like wellies with like left and right written on him? Jimmy
Did
Cricket.
Did he have a weird hat as well?
Yeah. He was, I think he was, his whole thing with it was a bit simple. I think
Northern Irish comedian,
thought.
Jimmy Cricket.
Yes.
Yeah. He's still alive, 78 years young.
Is he? Wowzers.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Listen to
me.
This under his Wikipedia page. Jimmy Cricket's humour is entirely clean. He almost always appears
I'd
in his
love
trademark
to cajole
outfit.
Him into a dirty little joke. That would be brilliant.
He almost always appears in his trademark outfit of cut-off evening trousers, evening tailcoat, hat, Yeah. Wellington boots marked L&R for left and right, but worn the wrong feet.
Yeah.
And he frequently prefaces an anecdote with the catchphrase, "Ladies and gentlemen, come here." It's different time.
Oh, I miss Jimmy Cricket with his clean humour.
He can't get on telly for love nor money these days.
It's clean, but very racist.
Pete, do you know what? Do you know where he made his name? You're not going to believe this.
Southend?
The Westcliff Theatre in Claxton-on-Sea.
The Westcliff Theatre. It's a nice theatre.
There we go.
Good stuff. All right, then. We'll be back on Thursday. And send us your batteries. Hello at linkpetreo.com. Check us out on TikTok, YouTube, and all kinds of different places. Instagram. Twitter. Twitter's pretty good. That's the one we mainly use, isn't it?
X.
Oh, fuck him. Fuck him to hell. Yeah. Right.
See you guys.
See ya. Yeah. Ta-ta.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.